Aloha from Maui. I'm Lucky, sending you light and love from the heart of Hawaii. I'm excited for you to hear a listener question from Lee, who lives on a neighbor island here in Hawaii. Lee is one of my favorite humans. I'm excited for you to meet her. Here we go.
My name is Lee. I live on the Big Island in Hawaii, and my question, how do we live a soul-filled life all the time? How can we make our everyday life a life filled with unconditional love of Source? What I wanted to talk with you about today connects to the soul retreats that you introduced me to a couple of years ago. I feel the best I've ever felt doing that, and I would love to see it expand into every part of my life daily. I want to feel that sense of soul, that sense of God, that sense of Source, that sense of Spirit, that sense of harmonious right relationships with all life, all the time. I want to live that consciousness all the time, because it feels the most healthy to me.
Lee, thank you for your question. I have some suggestions for you. I have enjoyed your presence at my online spiritual retreats over the last few years. You are all in, you're 100% present, and that inspires me to do the same. And you add a lot to our group, our sweet little group of retreat goers, and I appreciate that. Thank you. One suggestion to continue the feel good of the retreat, to build more of that into your life, is to build retreats into your life more frequently. I offer my online spiritual retreats about every 2 months, so you could do your own retreat halfway through. So you do my retreat 1 month, and then about 4 weeks, 5 weeks past that, do another retreat either on your own as a solo retreat, or you can invite others to join you in the retreat. You can design your own retreat or use the same framework that we do in my retreats. Or you could go to a totally different venue. There are all kinds of in-person retreats available, online retreats available. You could go to another one of those. So you could start there. And the frequency you could play around with. Maybe you need a retreat every week. Maybe every week, once a week, you could have a 4-hour dedicated block of time to your spiritual practice and the best parts of whatever retreats you've been participating in, mine or others. Bring those parts into that weekly practice. Or maybe every other week. Maybe every 2 weeks you do some kind of retreat. For this retreat practice, I suggest having an accountability partner. It could be yourself. You could write down on your calendar the next retreat you want to do, make some notes about the framework, some journaling prompts, whatever it is that you want to do in the retreat, write it down. If we just think thoughts in our head, they seem really important. They seem really solid in the moment. And then when we get to the day that we're supposed to do the retreat, it doesn't sound quite as appealing. The importance has faded away. We don't do the retreat or whatever it is that we thought was going to be solid for sure. So if you are your own accountability partner, you put it on your calendar, you write it down on paper or electronic document. If you can adopt someone else as an accountability partner, that can be helpful as well. Maybe there's someone in your life, or you can invite someone into your life to be an accountability partner. I've used that quite a bit over the last year, year and a half. A couple of my brother friends and I did an 8-week period where I was working on something specific and I adopted them to work on something that was similar. Once we got into it, I realized their goal for the 8 weeks is different than what my goal is. But we still have the accountability piece there. So once a week, we got on a 3-way call. Or if one of them wasn't available, I would just have, you know, a regular phone call with one of them. For 15 minutes, I set really strong boundaries because I didn't want to spend more than 15 minutes on the phone for this part of my life. And that was enough. Just checking in. As you know, hey, as you remember, this was my goal for the week. This is what I did for that goal or I didn't do for that goal. thank you for listening. And they give me kudos for trying, sometimes succeeding. And then I listen to them, how they did for the week with their goals. Great. Love you. Thanks for being here for me. I'm glad to be here for you. That's our 15 minutes. And then you get off the phone. So that's an option as well. I suggest that you do some writing. Why is the retreat effective? Choose the parts that are most impactful and repeat those. If you're doing a retreat on your own or with an accountability partner, you're doing the retreat together or small group of friends, you've put some thought into it. You've written out your thoughts about, I do Lucky's retreats and we do these activities, and which of those activities are most effective, which are most impactful, and choose to do those. Especially if you're doing the retreats often, you want to pick the top one thing or the top two things. So if you're doing a retreat every week or every other week, maybe you break it down where these four things are most impactful and you do one on the one retreat. The next week you just go through the cycle and you do the next one. It's good to have repetition where you have this practice and you get it honed in, and it's like Pavlov's response. When you start the retreat, you're in the spiritual practice and you did it the last three times on your own and you did it in this way and you're able to drop into that zone where you're connecting with your higher self, you're connecting with your higher power, you're connecting with the true source, you're used to that, you look forward to that, it's easy for you to drop into that zone. So that's one perspective. And then another perspective sometimes happens with us as humans. We get tired of things. Okay, I'm supposed to write this, or I'm supposed to think about this, or I'm supposed to do this meditative walk, and yada, yada, I did this the last two times. I'm so burnt out on it. So if you get to that point, it's time to change it up. So you could do maybe both. Like one thing that you do every time that seems a good way to start and drop into the zone, and then the second activity, you change it up. So you have planned what you're going to do and you stick with the plan. If you're the kind of person who needs more flexibility, you come with some ideas and then you allow the retreat to take shape. You allow the activities to flow with whatever mood you're in at the day. My last suggestion is to practice acceptance that as humans, we cannot feel happy all the time. We cannot feel good in our bodies all of the time. It's not our fault. We're doing nothing wrong necessarily. I get into that quite often when I physically feel sick, when I'm tired, when I'm in a grouchy mood. I am not in the mood to think about gratitude. And then I feel guilty about it. I feel bad about it. I feel like I'm doing something wrong because I can see countless blessings in my life. I have all of these things that are going well. Why can't I be in a good mood? Why can't I be in gratitude? Why do I have this physical pain? Why am I tired? Feels like it's my fault. I'm a human. I'm a woman. These things just happen. Ups and downs are part of the human experience. There is no escaping it. So don't feel like it's your fault. Being a human is hard. It's very challenging. And Lee, I know that you are doing your imperfect best to live a spiritual path and connect to true source and take care of your body. You're doing those things. It's 100% impossible to flow with that true source all the time like you do in a retreat. You could become a monk. You could become some kind of isolated spiritual person where you try to shun the world as much as possible and be on retreat all the time. Just all the time, spend as much as possible meditating, praying, dedicating yourself to connecting with the true source. You're still going to struggle with mood. You're still going to struggle with your physical body. We are spirits in a physical body. So our bodies have challenges. They're huge responsibilities and burdens and blessings and all the above. That's just going to be the case regardless of your outside circumstances. I was blessed to spend some time in an ashram in Assisi, Italy, and I have made a connection with a lovely woman there, and she lives there. She's lived there for quite a while because she wants to be on a spiritual path. It reminds me of you, Lee. She wants to connect with her higher power. She spends hours every day meditating on her own. The services that they offer there, meditation services, she goes to those, and she's full on. She's not like me. I imagine. I don't really know what's going on in her head, but just from observing her and being in conversation with her multiple times, she really tries to go deep. She really tries to focus on higher power, not think regular thoughts while she's meditating. And when I said something to her about, I admire her for how much time she spends in meditation, she said something to the effect of, she has to do that to survive. And I thought, wow, thank you for saying that. Just from that one sentence, I gleaned that she struggles. She struggles with everything else that we struggle with, all the ups and downs, and the way that she is coping with it is meditation and a life of service, in service to that ashram and that spiritual community. She works in the office. So when people come to stay there, she checks them in and gives them the tour. That's how I met her. And when I was sharing with her, she said that that part is lovely. People who come to the ashram are excited to be there and they're polite and respectful. And then she has her coworkers. That can be challenging, she said. Even if you become a monk, even if you shun the world as much as possible, you're still going to have ups and downs. Acceptance of the ups and downs, that's a spiritual practice. And definitely, let's all keep practicing wellness, keep chipping away at it, and doing our imperfect best to live a spiritual life, take care of our bodies, and be in acceptance that this is the best that we can do, and it is good enough. Thanks for listening. I trust that your higher power will use something from today's episode to help you or to enable you to help someone else. I love how our circle of gentleness and caring keeps expanding. For more loveliness, find your way to wellnesswithlucky.com.